Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In Chicago, two comedian skeptics named Andy and Art were mysteriously abducted by the illusionary mastermind and conspiracy theorist known only as Mr. Bunker. The following serves as a record of Bunker's attempt to convince non-believers of the truth about conspiracies and paranormal activity. Andy and Art give an uninterrupted presentation and verdict on the plausibility of these offbeat topics, delivering what they call the whole enchilada. Will Mr. Bunker convince these two skeptics any of this is real? Will it convince you?
Welcome to Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast. As always, I'm your co-host,
Art Stone.
And with me, as always, is your co-host,
Andy Hart.
Content not found.
Oh no, we got a 404 on Andy. We got a 404 on Andy. He's missing. Quickly.
Missing 404. It's me, David Pleasides. Pleasides nuts. Oh,
Andy, you look great with your burly little mustache and your...
I am packing heat.
And you're packing heat.
I mean my large dong and also my large gun.
Well, you're going to need it, Andy, because today we're going exploring.
Yeah, we're going...
Penguin hunting.
We're going deep down under. You know what I mean? Australia?
Not good enough for me.
I got to go further. I got to go deep.
We're going to the South Pole today.
The South Pole. This is where upside down Santa lives, and I think I'm stealing somebody else's bit.
We're stealing a bit, but that's okay because it's a bit that we love.
So don't forget I said that. We're going to the South Pole where the number one inhabitant is penguins.
Penguins.
Oh, you can go down there. You can watch the penguins fuck. You can watch them fight. You can watch them roost and hatch eggs. You can
dance.
You can watch them dance.
That documentary, Happy Feet.
Happy Feet. March of the Penguins is down there.
I didn't like that movie.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was fake.
Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Great documentary.
The Penguins from Madagascar.
Ooh, great documentaries, Andy.
These are all nature documentaries, all narrated by David Attenborough, and they are spectacular.
We're talking Antarctica. Bunkfuckers, this is a great topic. It's got everything you could ever want in a topic. Gaping holes, secret Nazi bases, secret UFO technology, like classic History Channel dogfights between fighter pilots and Nazis piloting alien spacecraft. It's got the Antichrist makes an appearance, a cameo appearance from the Antichrist.
Yeah. Good to have him back on the show.
The Freemasons, of course, a staple amongst conspiracy cinema.
You've got secret military operations, secret submarines. You've got
Hungarians who live in Argentina.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Hungarians who live in Argentina.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a great topic, and it comes to us from.
We call them Hungry Tinas. Hungritinians.
This topic comes to us from a bunkfunker, Andy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Honestly, bunkfunkers, this is one of my all-time favorite episode suggestions that we've ever gotten. This comes to us from Kellen D.
Kellen D.
Kellen, thank you for sending in this topic. And I'm going to quote Kellen's email here because I swear to you, this when I got this email, I laughed out loud.
He LOL'd in real life. Lirled.
This is a quote from Kellen. Please check out the huge gaping hole in Antarctica the royals and global elites, parentheses reptilians, are trying to cover up.
I love that. That's it. Short, sweet, to the point. Gaping holes.
There's something about describing it as a huge gaping hole. the specificity of how large the hole is just tickles me in a way that I...
And we don't know what kind of emotion Kellen intended
behind
this email. Was it like, please check out the gaping hole, please? Or was it just, please check out the gaping hole in Antarctica?
Or was this more of an informational, please check out the gaping hole in Antarctica, the huge gaping hole in Antarctica?
Well, bunk bunkers, mind the gaping hole and...
mind the gape.
Mind the gape, and you know what? If you can't wait to get all that...
If you go into a British sex dungeon, that's that's what you'll see. Mind the gape.
Maybe the British make an appearance in this as well. Yeah. A lot of countries do.
This
and
is
so,
a real worldwide effort on Antarctica.
Thank you to Kellen again.
Yes, Kellen, sincerely. Great topic.
If you can't wait to get all that gaping hole,
ooh,
icy
if you're so
action,
hot, if you're yeah. hot to get cold, can't wait. You wanna cool your hot heart with some... icy blast from
some icy hot
glacial winds. Yeah.
If you want to put icy hot on your gaping hole, of course, you can always check out the show notes. That is where the timestamp is located. It'll tell you when the research begins. Mm-hmm. It'll take you right to when it starts. We try our best. You know, first, of course, Andy and I, we gotta update you on the bunker.
Yeah. Our lives here in the bunker. Bunk Funkers, you know this by now. Me and Art live together in the bunker. We co-parent a non-traditional family. We do not have sex with each other.
We don't. So stop telling us that we do.
Yeah.
But don't stop sending us photos of us having sex with each other.
Yeah. Don't stop sending us your fan-made creations, your drawings of us having sex with each other.
Yeah.
Or
we hang that stuff up all over the bunker because it's fucking cool.
Or the two of us pleasuring Chuck Yeager. The two of us as women, mm-hmm. getting picked up by Chuck Yeager at Applebee's.
Chuck Yeager and that badass snowman skeleton.
Yeah, that's right.
Who drinks whatever, Nestle or Brisk, whatever the fuck he drinks. Some iced tea that's really cold. Perfect for Antarctica. But as parents, you know, sometimes, Andy, it's important that we, you know, you gotta... You know, the kids, they're always asking for stuff. And, you know, it's like as daddies, we're always like, you know, it's like, no. And then, you know,
no, we're not going to get you a car. No, we can't get a new toy at the store. No, there's no breakfast today or lunch. You've got to learn some responsibility. We're always telling them, adult baby David Crosby and Peon Musk, we're telling them, you got to learn responsibility.
Well, they're saying things like, can we get McDonald's? We're like, no, we have McDonald's at home.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, okay, we do have a couple of McDonald's employees that we've captured and stuck in the bunker, and we've kind of started to try and tell them to help make us McDonald's food at home, but it's not really working out because they're like afraid and scared and they want their families and they're like whatever. But
and we don't have the supplies. We're making them work inside one of these, you know, Play-Doh McDonald's. They have to make us little... They use the extruder to make us little Play-Doh fries and Play-Doh burgers and Play-Doh chicken nuggets.
And I'm saying, give me a Play-Doh chicken nuggets. You know what I'm saying? Give me a whole plate.
I mean, I like it because Play-Doh is good.
Play-Doh's delicious.
So salty.
You can 100% eat it.
Yeah, it's non-toxic. And it's nutritious, too.
And the flavors match up with the colors.
Yeah. So
blue raspberry, cherry, green apple. Grape.
Orange.
Banana. But, you know, they've been...
Turquoise. Tastes just like turquoise.
And they've been asking for a pet.
Yeah.
And we keep saying no. And it's like that classic meme where it's, you know, it's
Daddies didn't want to get a
daddies
dog.
Daddies didn't want to get
daddies
a dog.
Daddies with the dog.
Daddies with the dog.
Yeah.
That classic meme, and it's an accurate meme. It's real life memes. So we got a pet for the kids.
Yeah, we got a pet. You know, we gave in finally to all the nagging and begging. You know, and we don't believe in adopting. We only buy from pet stores.
We go straight to very high end boutique breeders.
Right. Not necessarily pet breeders. Either. So we went to this, I guess you would say it was sort of a mobile home
on
the outskirts of a swamp.
Very exotic.
Very exotic. This is where animals can roam free. There's no fences. It's free range. And we met this animal breeder.
Yeah.
And you know, his name is Jeffrey Dormer, and his philosophy is really just, you know, spray as many animal pheromones in the air as possible around his property.
Right.
And just see what happens.
Just see what happens.
And so a lot
just
of
such a cool philosophy.
So, you know, it's like he's got a lot of different kinds of animals, like animals that would normally eat each other are having sex with each other, like a tiger and a pig.
Tigers always hunting those pigs.
Yeah. Well, they would eat if they had more pigs available, they would.
You got lions and zebras.
Lions and zebras. You know, if you've never seen a zebra bang a lion, you can see it at Jeffrey Dormer's property. And so, you know, a lot of it's just animal free love. It doesn't result in offspring.
You know, we picked up. It's it might be an iguana,
or it's maybe a horse.
Could be I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's hard to tell.
In some ways, it's a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. In some ways, it's a dog. It's got a cat tail.
Yeah. You know what? We're not really sure what it is.
But
we don't care.
This is the kind of stuff that happens at Jeffrey Dormer's.
It's exotic.
It's little pieces of animals that have been stitched together. It's almost like a Frankenstein's monster.
It's a chimera.
Yeah. A chimera. And we brought it home in our Camaro. And of course, we've given it a classic pet name.
That's right. Wallace. And Wally is, you know, you know, it takes a little while for a pet to get accustomed to a new environment.
Right, right.
You know, Wally doesn't really play fetch. Wally doesn't really like to be pet.
Yeah.
Wally doesn't snuggle on the couch. Wally doesn't purr. Wally doesn't chase the mailman.
Doesn't exactly feel good to pet. Doesn't seem to enjoy being petted.
Wally really likes smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, Wally is probably descended from a circus animal, because like a bear that smoked cigarettes. Because first of all, Wally is enormous.
Yeah, he's got huge beefy arms.
Huge beefy arms. A very robust, you know, bipedal creature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like an iguana. Huge arms, and you know, very little fur,
almost none except for the top.
Right on the top, there's some
shaggy kind of gray fur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mostly eats cheeseburgers.
Yeah, really loves cheese. And you know, we set out food for Wally.
Yeah,
and Wally went,
was a raw beef rib.
Borrowed our car and drove to a restaurant and bought a cheeseburger. So like, I mean, clearly Wally was trained very well by Jeffrey Dormer.
Yeah. Jeffrey Dormer, great trainer.
You know, Wally is housebroken. He knows how to use the toilet, and he wipes with toilet paper.
And he uses it a lot.
Yeah, he does. I mean, you know, I think he's drinking coffee too, because he's got diarrhea real bad. Cheeseburgers, diarrhea.
Yeah, we have coffee, we have, of course, cigarettes. Like a big box of Entenmann's donuts. You know, always on the bunker counter in the open face kitchen toilet. And I swear to Christ, Andy, I thought it was you for weeks with Wally. But it turns out I caught Wally sneaking them donuts in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I thought it was you.
I know.
Sneaking my Entenmann's.
No, not
classic
me.
Phrase, Lego my Entenmann's.
Yeah. Classic phrase, go of my Entenmann's. With friends like these, who needs Entenmann's? I wish I was an Entenmann's guy, but unfortunately I'm not. Hostess all the way.
Wow.
I buy an industrial-sized bag of those little powdered donuts, powdered sugar donuts, and I use that as a pillow. The end is open, so I can just eat while I'm sleeping.
That's true.
Little powdered donuts.
One year for your birthday, I forgot. I bought you a industrial Hostess, like from the manufacturing plant of the Twinkies cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a giant fucking vat of cream.
One of these 100-gallon drums of Twinkie cream.
I've never seen you happier.
Yeah. I took off all my clothes and I got inside of it. And then I just waited until it was empty. I just opened my mouth. It's like, it was like this experience of, I mean, it's like if you just laid down somewhere and then just all of a sudden someone started having sex with you. Like, that's what it was like.
Yeah. It's very orgasmic for you.
Yeah. I did come in the cream.
Wally doesn't get along with, you know, Peon, not a huge fan of Wally. Adult baby David Crosby, I think he's still too young to really understand what Wally is or what Wally's doing.
I mean, we have to work with adult baby David Crosby all the time on sharing. He really doesn't like sharing his cigarettes with Wally. And Wally is always asking to bum a smoke.
Yeah, you know,
adult
baby
David Crosby's always going, I just gave you a cigarette yesterday, man.
Yeah.
I'm not made of money, man.
Baby gibberish. Barely understand what he's saying.
It's one of these, you know, you have to really understand.
You have to
read
into
it. What baby David Crosby's trying to say is that I don't want to do this. I don't understand the concept of sharing.
I gave you a cigarette yesterday.
Yeah.
And you never repaid me back.
Right.
And then Wally's always be like, I promise, just this one time. So,
you know, it's like, what's he saying?
Who knows? Very expressive eyes, though. You know, very, classic. Yeah. You could
tell that he doesn't.
You got to read in the cues with pets.
Right.
So, and of course, Wally is not, I mean, he is using the toilet a lot, but he's also at the same time not housebroken.
Yeah. Yeah, he has shit on the floor, but it
seems like it's out of malice.
Yeah, you know, pets do this sometimes. He shits, he pukes, he pisses. You know, it's like I woke up in the night the other night and he was peeing in my mouth. And I was lucky that I had powdered donuts in there because it was soaking up the urine.
Oh, God.
That was a weird swallow, I'll tell you that much. Can't let good powdered donuts go to waste. So it feels malicious. Pets do this sometimes, you know. He's just trying to get used to a new environment.
Well, you know, things were going okay with Wally, but today, I don't know, he got really aggressive. Yeah. And it seemed like he didn't want to put on the collar that we got for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which we didn't really know what to get, like how much of a collar. So we ended up getting a full leather gimp suit. You know,
it's got a like bright pink collar on
right,
it,
right?
With spikes on it, and underneath the spikes it says "I'm a bad bitch."
Underneath the spikes, barely read it. Very tiny print.
There's so many spikes. But you know,
yeah.
It's one of those custom touches that it just shows that
we spent so much fucking money on that thing too, and he just would not get inside of it. He refused. He was really being a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. And then you know he just, you know. You know, he just started, you know, much like an iguana, he started ripping off some of his appendages as a method of escaping, which is something that iguanas do.
Yeah.
A lot of animals can do this. You can look up videos of horses doing this. Elephants will detach their entire bodies and crawl away on their trunks. I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I've seen an eagle rip off its own wings and run away from a predator before. I mean, this is a true fact.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we've all seen these videos of.
Watch a lot of nature documentaries.
Of giraffes taking off their necks and just putting their heads on their torsos.
Yeah.
So that they're not as visible.
Right.
And then they store they shove their necks up their butt. And so it's inside their body.
Yeah. And so he started taking off all his appendages and just said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm sick. I don't know why I fucking went on long for so long with this. Mm-hmm. This is bullshit. It's me. It's Mr. Bunker. What the fuck? I got to keep heightening. I got to keep doing this at a higher and higher level. It's ridiculous that it's coming to this.
I keep thinking that you're going to get it, but you never get it no matter what I do.
I mainly stuck around for the donuts and the fact that I kept pissing in Andy's mouth night after night. He only noticed it one time, but I would do it most nights.
Yeah. And we're like, calm down, boy. Shoo, 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 shoo. Do you want a treat?
And we were like, Wally, no, 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 bad, no. No.
We did have
like, quick, get your finger out of my fucking face. Stop it. Show me some fucking respect.
I mean, I've never heard an iguana bark like this, but, you know, we did have to give his little tushy a smack with the newspaper.
He did not like that.
No.
And so he ended up, you know, he's a very powerful animal. Might be part alligator because he used his large muscular tail to push us here into the bunker and then lock the door.
Yeah.
So we figure let him calm down, let him get the energy out, And we'll do a podcast if we have to.
Right. You know, it's the least we can do is do a podcast and let him cool off.
Right. But that, you know, hey, that's family life.
That's family life. Breaking in a new pet's not easy. All you pet lovers out there, you pet owners out there, you know what it's like.
You know what it's like.
You've all been in these Wally situations before. It's not just us. So we appreciate your empathy and understanding.
Well, anyway, speaking of breaking in something new, we got to break in a bunker alarm.
Yeah, we got to, the bunker alarm is going off because we got to break in a new patron.
Yeah.
Bunk Funkers, we are very excited to share with you that we have a new patron.
A new patron.
This patron's name is Jane Richards. Jane.
Jane.
Jane. Anyway. Jane,
thank you
for your support. Thank you for becoming a patron. You're a beloved Bunk Funker, a proud patron. Jane, in your
from
honor.
The UK, from the UK. Thank
from
you,
the
Jane.
UK.
Cross the pond.
Thank you, Kay. Jane, in your honor as our newest patron, we are going to do something special for you.
And for the honor of Mr. Kite.
For the benefit of Mr. Kite.
Oh, fuck.
We are gonna ring the bunker alarm for you, Jane. I'm gonna fire up the old Bunk Tech bunker alarm 3000, the most sophisticated piece of technology available on the earth.
This is an honor.
And it's gonna play a perfectly synced alarm for you to celebrate your
patronage.
Yeah, okay.
So how much we appreciate it.
So let me just turn this thing on here.
Okie dokie.
Raccoon inside of it. All right, there it goes. There's only one.
We're classic only, raccoon noise.
Only well, that was hitting the side of the machine. Only one raccoon in there. Thank God it wasn't a family. The babies are the hard ones to get because that mom gets so mad about it when you touch the babies. Oh my God! And they got those little clawed teeth. Oh my God, Jane. We're gonna find a perfect alarm for you. Let me just work the machine here.
All right. Oh, okay. A little. It sounds like an espresso machine. Oh, my goodness. Okay. A lot of pipes. A lot of little pipes and doodads. It's like a large Phantom of the Opera style organ with all the pipes.
I am wearing a mask on half of my face.
We'll find that other half soon.
Yeah, I lost half my mask. Oh, this is a good one.
Oh, we found a good one. Here we go.
All right, Jane. So this bunker alarm is for you. We're going to do a classic Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time countdown to get us to the bunker alarm. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a fun one.
That's good.
That's a great one.
That was worth all the searching. I think.
Yeah.
Hey, Jane.
Hey, Jane.
Hey, Jane, you listening still?
Hey, Jane,
focus up here, okay? Jane, that bunker alarm was for you.
Jane, that bunker alarm is for you. Thank you so much, Jane, for your patronage and support.
Thank you, Jane.
We appreciate it so much. And if you bunk funkers out there have the means to do so and you want to support the show and want to get a bunker alarm just like that, plus a lot more stuff. I mean, I'm talking 2 extra episodes a month, Andy. 2 extra episodes every month.
Yeah.
A shout out of on social medias. Access to the Bunker Discord, which honestly, you can get that at any tier, and it's worth it because the Bunk Funkers on the Bunker Discord are by far, I mean, they are bar none quality people. They are hilarious, and they are nice.
And we got, I mean, Bunk Funkers, if you're thinking about becoming a patron.
Right.
And the Discord is something that intrigues you.
That's right.
I just would like to point out that we're getting quite a collection of nicknames for the people in the Discord, too.
That's
We've
true.
Got Jackhammer. Jeremy. We've got King Truck and Fuck. We are getting a lot of really good nicknames.
I'm sure Jeremy had one at one point.
Yeah, probably.
God knows fucking Justin, Ian, Natalie, you know.
Look, there's a lot of things to like about the Discord.
Yeah. And of course, you can also get monthly newsletters. So if you want to do so, patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. Check it out if you want. If not, it's okay. We don't care. So do whatever you want.
We care. We're just not going to be mad about it.
No, what I'm saying is we appreciate the support regardless.
We appreciate you listening, even if you aren't a patron.
Whatever you're doing right now, maybe you're doing laundry. Maybe you're cooking. Maybe you're working out. Hey, good for you.
You guys remember, you remember these ads we used to do?
Remember those ads from the beginning that we used to do? Hey. Did you guys like those? We'll bring them back.
Hey, Bunk Funkers. It's Andy. Whatever you're doing right now, whether you're burping a child, culling your herd of sheep, coloring in a coloring book, or teaching English as a second language courses at your local community college, we appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to us.
That's true. Although trying to teach people English off of this show might not be the best case because I struggle to pronounce things in my native language. So, anyway,
native language, Klingon.
Klingon, I love Star Trek. And anyway, Bunkfuckers, let's get to it.
Ooh, wee goo goo guy, he loves Star Trek.
Ooh, wee goo goo guy. This is a great topic. You guys are going to love this one. This is super fun. This is the dreams that conspiracy theories are made of. And it's got everything
sweet
you could ever want.
Sweet conspiracy dreams are made of this.
Let's get to it, Andy. This is nice, icy cold. We got our parka jackets on. We're looking snuggly. We're looking warm. We're looking fresh. Here it is. Antarctica here on Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast.
Ooh, it's so chilly.
You guys remember that one, too? We'll bring that one back. That was a fun one. I think it's still playing on a bunch of episodes.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, here's the episode.
It's chilly.
Bunkfunkers, today we present to you a whole enchilada fit for a hardy explorer. And it ain't hot. Oh, no, it's practically frozen. Because we're giving you the whole enchilada on Plenty-O Antarctica conspiracies.
Oh, my favorite Bond girl, Plenty-O Antarctica conspiracies.
Oh, great one. Antarctica might be a frozen continent, but beneath its thick with two C's icy covering are layers and layers of mystery. I mean, we're talking, Andy, UFOs, secret Nazi bases, hidden temples, and possibly the Antichrist.
Yeah, it's jam packed. It's fun. But first, before we get in, we got to do our due diligence. We got to thaw this whole enchilada on Antarctica by presenting you some history behind it. So it brings me great joy, exceeding pleasure, to go and unfreeze the history hog from its cryo chamber.
We had to put the history hog in a cryo chamber. It hasn't been out in a while, but we're going to unfreeze it. So, Andy, without further ado, please release the hatch and okay. Let's unfreeze the history hog.
Wee, wee, wee! Wee! Oh, boy. Here comes the history hog. Hey. Wait a minute. Who's that?
It is I, Sir Pretty Chilly. And I was frozen accidentally in the cryo chamber with the history hog. But now I am released.
Sir Pretty Chilly? What are you, some kind of stupid Batman villain knockoff?
No!
But if you're some kind of, like, ice-obsessed villain, how'd you get fucking frozen in a cryo chamber? Wouldn't a cryo chamber be where you sleep or your lair or something?
Can you guys just please... Can you just freaking stop, please? I'm really trying, okay? My best to make it as a supervillain. And, I mean, your show has a menagerie of fun, lovable characters, and I think I could fit right in. Please. I need this.
Okay. I guess you can stay. But hey, I mean, the Bunk Funkers don't just take to any weirdo who makes one-off appearances on the show, okay?
Yeah, remember Barn Owl?
Yeah, exactly. So you're really going to have to endear yourself to them, okay?
I promise. I'm very cool.
Holy fuck. Art. This guy is good. Fuck. That was hilarious. Whew. Anywho, Antarctica isn't just some giant frozen pile of shit. Which we know is what you were all thinking. It contains the geographic south pole of our planet, which is freaking rad.
We just love poles, baby.
Poles. I love the poles. Any of our listeners in Warsaw? What's up? Krakow? Yellow. Love the poles. It was also Antarctica, not Poland, was the last region on Earth to be discovered, according to some. However, according to native New Zealand Maori oral history, a Maori captain and crew explored and discovered Antarctic waters in the early 7th century. But even before its discovery, belief in a vast continent in the far south, a Terra Australis, had prevailed since the times of Ptolemy in the 1st century CE Common Era. Australia was actually named after Terra Australis because of the misconception that no significant landmass could exist further south. Boy, were those friggin' dummies wrong. Friggin' idiots. European maps still included some kind of fabled mythical South Pole landmass until Captain James Cook's ships HMS Resolution and Adventure crossed the Antarctic Circle on 17th of January, 1773. Cook came within about 120 kilometers, which is roughly 75 miles, of the Antarctic coast before retreating in the face of field ice. But him coming so close to the mythical South Pole land of ice and snow got people hot and horny to actually go find out if this place existed.
Don't get too hot for Antarctica, or the snow might melt.
Wow. God damn, that was a fucking banger. Jeez.
This is perfect delivery.
Holy fuck. Good timing. Anyway, sometime later, ships captained by three men sighted Antarctica or its ice shelf in 1820. This was Fabian Gottlieb von Bellingshausen. What a name.
Man.
Wish that was Fabian Gottlieb von Bellingshausen.
Fabian Gottlieb von Bellingshausen.
A captain in the Imperial Russian Navy. You got Edward Bronsfield, a captain in the Royal Navy, and Nathaniel Palmer, an American sealer. This was huge. This mythical land of the ice and snow, and the midnight sun and the hot springs. It was real. Terra Australis was real, Andy. The first documented landing on Antarctica was by the American sealer, John Davis, apparently at Hughes Bay near Cape Charles in West Antarctica on February 7th, 1821.
USA! USA! USA!
But some historians dispute this claim, and the first recorded confirmed landing at Cape Adare was in 1895 by the Norwegian-Swedish whaling ship, the Antarctic.
IKEA!
Now, here's something we can't dispute, though. U.S. Admiral Richard E. Byrd led several voyages to to Antarctica by plane in the 1930s and 40s for a host of reasons. Now, you might remember him from our episode on the Hollow Earth theory, and we'll be talking about him in depth in just a little bit.
But now let's put this history section on ice and get to some factoids.
Art, this guy is good. Too good.
I'm getting to get a little hot under the collar, Andy.
I'm steaming over here. Well, like Sir Pretty Chili said, here's some more Antarctica facts. It's home to several volcanoes, two of which are active. This might come as a surprise to some, but we'll touch on it later as well. Antarctica covers an area of 14.2 million square kilometers, which is roughly 5.5 million square miles. This is about twice the size of Australia and larger than the United States of America and Mexico combined. It's a freaking desert. Technically speaking, as deserts are classified by rainfall, the average annual rainfall at the South Pole over the past 30 years was just over 10 millimeters, or 4/10 of an inch. Although there is more precipitation toward the coast, the average across the continent is low enough to classify Antarctica as a polar desert. There's more than 9,000 known species in Antarctica, but penguins are the main land animal species. There's a waterfall in Antarctica called the Blood Falls, where the water flows a crimson blood red. The water flowing from within the glacier was from a subglacial lake high in salt and oxidized iron, and when it came into contact with oxygen, the iron rusted, giving the water its striking red shade and its name, Blood Falls. And this might just be one of the most metal places on Earth.
Can't dispute that. Antarctica is also the only continent on Earth with no native population. I mean, so you know when it was first discovered, them hungry imperialists were like, ooh, is this for me, please? And everyone wanted a piece of that pie. But by, you know, 1959, there were seven individual claims with Argentina, Australia, Chile, France, New Zealand, Norway, and the United Kingdom, each drawing lines around their proposed territories. Interesting crew.
Yeah.
It's like a fun little party.
Yeah.
The map of Antarctica was carved up like a pie chart, and Australia's claim is the largest with a 42% share of the entire continent, covering a whopping 6 million square kilometers. Not bad, you sick cunts. Not bad. A little bit of a, maybe a little bit too New Zealand for
you. Good job, you drongos.
That's a little better. Now, this frozen pizza pie led to some geopolitical issues, which we're getting to, but today, you know, Antarctica doesn't belong to anyone. There's no single country that owns Antarctica. Instead, Antarctica is governed by a group of nations in a unique international partnership. On December 1st, 1959, 12 nations, Argentina, Australia, Belgium, Chile, France, Great Britain, Japan, New Zealand, Norway, South Africa, the United States, and the USSR, gathered in Washington to sign the historic Antarctic Treaty. It basically states, hey, no more claiming land here for yourself. No military actions going on here. Only science and research and peace and love and fun. Obviously, many conspiracy theorists aren't buying that at all.
They're giving them the cold shoulder.
Dude, where is this guy getting this stuff? This is friggin' gold.
Boy.
Oh my God.
Hate to follow this guy's act.
Cold shoulder? Give me a break. I would have never thought of that. Come on. Whew. Now, bunkfunkers. Treaties and metal as fuck, Blood Falls, and the movie Happy Feet are all well and good. You know, when you think about blood flowing from inside a glacier, you also think about Happy Feet. These are all well and good, but what's got conspiracy theorists in a tizzy? What's got their little undies in a bunch with Antarctica, huh? Why do they distrust the mainstream narrative about the South Pole? Well, for one, there's the gaping holes. And no, we're not talking about my competitive eating team, the gaping holes.
Or your porn fetish.
Or the way I prefer to order Swiss cheese. I'm talking about the gaping 30,000 square mile hole in the Antarctic ice. And this isn't the first gaping hole either. This particularly large one first appeared in 1974 and had eggheads baffled for a while as to why it reappeared. Even bigger holes had appeared before, but this bad boy was the first the eggheads got to study. A study from the University of Washington used machine learning to scan satellite images of the gaping hole, robotic drifters, and even seals with freaking camera sensors attached to their heads. Okay. Seals with freaking camera sensors. I love holes. Anyway, to help study why these gaping holes form, when they form, and how. These gaping holes are referred to as polynya, a Russian word that roughly means hole in the ice. And they're typically formed near shore as wind pushes the ice around. but they also can appear far from the coast and be used by penguins and whales and seals and dope-ass marine life to pop up and catch some friggin' oxygen, my dude. Woo! Breathing is cool.
Now, eggheads believe the following, quote, analysis shows that when the surface ocean is especially salty, maybe it just lost a video game. They didn't believe that. That's something I added. Anyway, back to the quote. As seen throughout 2016, strong winter storms can set off an overturning circulation. Warmer, saltier water from the depths gets churned up to the surface where air chills it and makes it denser than the water below. As the water sinks, and as that water sinks, relatively warmer, deep water of about 1 degree Celsius or 34 Fahrenheit replaces it, creating a feedback loop where ice can't form, end quote. That's why they say these big fucking gaping holes are forming. But theorists...
These eggheads wouldn't know a gaping hole if it came up and hit them in the face.
That's right. Now, here's the thing, though. Theorists might buy some of that egghead talk. They might say, okay, yeah, whatever. But gaping holes aren't just holes. They're entrances. To what, you ask? Well, how about the friggin' hollow earth?
Mm-hmm.
According to one Admiral Richard E. Byrd, there may be entrances to the hollow earth in Antarctica. Now, we covered Byrd in our Hollow Earth episode pretty extensively, and here's what we had to say. We're going to quote ourselves.
Yeah, the ultimate authorities on any topic.
It's a mystery. And then, according to alleged 1947 diary entry, Medal of Honor recipient Admiral Richard E. Byrd claimed to have actually visited the Hollow Earth. Now, to be fair, the authenticity of the diary entry is disputed. Byrd was a famous polar explorer who may have completed the first flight over the North Pole, which, again, is a fact that's also disputed. But according to the diary entries, Byrd's plane was guided into the Hollow Earth, get this, by flying saucers, where he met a race of beings which live inside the Earth. He also saw a mammoth, you know, a hairy prehistoric elephant. Byrd got to meet with someone called, quote, the master, who told Byrd that the advanced race inside the Earth was, well, disappointed in humanity using nuclear weapons and that a dark age would soon befall the surface-dwelling humans. Byrd took this information back to the U.S. government, and they told him to keep quiet about it. Typical U.S. government bullshit. Boy, we sounded good. Now, Byrd commanded a military operation to Antarctica in 1946 called Operation High Jump. Operation High Jump's main objective was reportedly non-combative. Mm-hmm. It was to set up a research base on Antarctica called Little America 4.
Which is also the name of my parakeet. Little America 4. Rest in peace, Little America's 1, 2, and 3.
R.I.P.
I wonder if they watched that show Little Bush at Little America 4. Little Bush!
Probably not, considering he, I don't know how old he would have been in 1946.
Yeah.
Probably would have been a little baby.
Or even not alive.
Yeah. Anyway.
The other goals of Operation High Jump were to train soldiers in frigid conditions, investigating further potential base sites, extending the sovereignty of the United States to an extensive region of the continent, and surveying the electromagnetic, geological, hydrographical, and other scientifically important aspects of the physical environment. Operation High Jump included 4,700 men, 13 ships, and 33 aircraft. This is a big operation. Operation High Jump could have been a run-of-the-mill research experiment conducted by the U.S. military, but then Admiral Byrd went and said this in March 5th, 1947's Chilean El Mercurio newspaper. Quote, Admiral Byrd declared today that it was imperative for the United States to initiate immediate defense measures against hostile regions. The admiral further stated that he did not want to frighten anyone unduly, but that it was a bitter reality that in case of a new war, the continental United States would be attacked by flying objects which could fly from pole to pole at incredible speeds. End quote.
What are we getting at here, bunkfunkers? Well, if the gaping holes aren't entrances to the Hollow Earth, then, well, maybe they're entrances to the secret underground Nazi research base.
Yeah.
That's the next conclusion you can draw.
Right. If you see a hole somewhere and there's nothing apparently in it, it probably has a secret Nazi base in it.
Many believe that Operation High Jump was no fucking research mission, but a full-scale military operation to destroy the secret Nazi bases underneath Antarctica. Oh, and you better believe there's aliens. The story goes like this. The Thule Society and a German psychic named Maria Orsic had a telepathic communication with an extraterrestrial from Aldebaran. The aliens gave Orsic blueprints on how to build a flying saucer prototype. The Aldebarans were allies with the reptilians, and as you may or may not know, you probably do, the reptilians are typically a evil race of
aliens. They're the bad ones.
They're the bad boys. And the reptilians then allied with the Nazis when Hitler rose to power. Hitler learned of Orsic's work and offered for her to join his regime in exchange for funding for this saucer technology. The reptilians also told Hitler about the extensive network of tunnels underneath Antarctica. Antarctica's volcanically heated ice caves actually have an internal comfortable temperature of 75 degrees and can sustain life. Pretty nice.
Yeah.
In 1938, Hitler sent an expedition to find the tunnels on a ship called the Schwabenland. Now, when they landed, they named the area New Schwabia after their ship, which is kind of friggin' boring and lame, am I right? You know, I would have named it something way cooler, like Artyland.
Coombtown would also be acceptable.
Coombtown would be a badass name.
Coombtown. All the coomers can go to Antarctica. Yeah. Coombtown in the volcanically heated ice caves.
Coomin.
Anywho, the Nazi expedition succeeded and found the tunnels. Throughout World War II, the Nazis sent funds and resources to build a massive base under the ice because, you know, they had so many extra resources during the war. The Nazis then built flying saucers here with advanced laser weaponry, as well as other insane inventions called their Wunderwaffen, or wonder weapons. Meanwhile, the reptilians collected on the deal. The Nazis built the saucers, but also agreed to fight alongside the reptilians in their interstellar wars. So, Hitler took his genocide into outer space.
Oh, I'm going to fight a war on two fronts? No, no, no. Three, baby.
Mein Führer.
Let's go to space.
The new Dark Fleet of space Nazis.
They're called the Dark Fleet.
The Dark Fleet. The space Nazis are the Dark Fleet.
Right.
I remember them from Star Wars, right?
I was going to say, that's my favorite part of the chicken.
The Dark Fleet. Yeah, you know. Yeah,
give me a couple pieces of Dark Fleet.
You know, if you go through a wormhole and you want to go buy running shoes, you have to go to Dark Fleet Feet. Anyway, the new Dark Fleet of space Nazis began sending spacecraft to the moon and Mars during World War II. This is starting to sound like a story that kid tells on the playground.
Yeah. You can never kill this kid in a game of, like, whatever.
It's like, oh, no,
you missed me. I have an invisible shield. You didn't see it.
You didn't see it. Oh, no, I was actually 1 inch tall, but now I'm back to normal size. I can shrink at will.
Kid.
You play with that kid. Anyway, when Admiral Byrd tried to take out the Nazis with Operation High Jump, the Nazi flying saucer fleet absolutely decimated them. It's like the old saying goes, don't bring 6 forward-facing Browning 12.7mm machine guns to an alien laser cannon fight. We've all heard it. My dad used to say it every day. That's how he woke me up, shouting into my face. And I never forgot it.
The Navy returned defeated and secretly reported the news, but Admiral Byrd secretly let it slip in that Chilean newspaper of the, quote, new enemy, meaning the fucking Nazi flying saucers that could fly from pole to pole. The Nazi Dark Fleet then continually flew over the U.S. after 1947, and President Truman issued an order to shoot down any UFOs which were Nazi Dark Fleet, and many secret airplane and Nazi UFO dogfights took place. In 1952, the Nazi Dark Fleet flew over Washington, D.C. in a threatening manner.
What, you've never been a part of a threatening flyover?
They threw over them, they were flipping them off. Fuck you, America.
Kiss my Nazi ass. I'm pushing my butt cheeks up against the window. Kiss my Nazi butt.
And
President so, Pooh Man. Hairy ass Pooh Man.
More like President False Man.
Pew, 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 pew. I just fired my lasers over at your monument, but I did not hit it on purpose. I know what I'm doing.
Truman then enacted Operation Paperclip to work with the Nazis rather than against them. He says, oh, if I can't beat them, might as well take them and make them part of my society.
Yeah. Yeah, might as well integrate them into my society and use them to help further my own prestige.
Let's forget about their war crimes. And in 1955, when President Eisenhower took over, he didn't want to work with the Dark Fleet. He was like, fuck these guys. But then he succumbed to pressure from his National Security Council, and in exchange for blueprints to the Nazi flying saucer tech, agreed to aid the Reptilians and the Nazi Dark Fleet in their intergalactic battles.
Eisenhower, why? You sold us out!
Now
you
we're
bastard.
Fighting another fucking...
Another endless war.
Another endless war in space against the Aldebarans.
Everybody's enemies with the Reptilians. Eisenhower.
God damn it. Now, the Dark Fleet is a whole other topic, but that's a solid little taste for you, a little morsel to get your whistles wet.
Appetizer.
And that's one of the main mysteries of Antarctica, that, you know, there's some fucking secret Nazi alien tech going on in there. And this Nazi underground base is also said to be the legendary Hollow Earth city of Agartha, which is also sometimes referred to as Shambhala. We talked about it in our Hollow Earth episode. You can check it out. Mm-hmm. Now, some sources say that the Nazis, that base isn't Agartha, but they built a base there, but then they also found the actual inner Hollow Earth in addition to their base and then, you know, in the network of tunnels, and made deals with the inner Earth beings in Agartha, and that the US and Soviets knew of these entrances but couldn't best the fortified Nazi strongholds protecting the entrances, and they wanted to get to Agartha themselves. So little bit of a diversion in there. And it's, you know, some people say, oh, it's just the Nazis are actually Agartha. But then some people say, no, the Nazis are there, but they're working with Agartha.
Right.
Duh.
Yeah. I mean, Nazi strongholds, famously unbreachable.
Yeah.
You know, all through the war.
That's right. They
were never able to breach any of the Nazi strongholds.
Never was.
And that's why.
There was never a giant land invasion of a bunch of Nazi bunkers, fortified bunkers.
Fortifications were never abandoned.
Yeah, that people remember day after day that has like a special name or something.
Yeah, no. But anyway. Boy, this is a wild topic. I could really use a cool drink.
Hey, with or without some ice?
Oh, man. Dude, seriously? How do you come up with this stuff? Seriously. Unreal. We might have to freeze you back up because you might just take our jobs. So,
anyway,
Nazis working with aliens to build weapons of mass destruction for use in a galactic war, all in Antarctica. This is wild stuff. Now, in 2006, a Russian documentary alleged that a 1947 secret Soviet intelligence report commissioned by Joseph Stalin, the great red bastard himself, the big red rocket, revealed that intel secretly gained by the Soviets from their spies embedded in the U.S. showed the U.S. Navy had sent the military expedition to find and destroy a hidden Nazi base. On the way, they encountered a mysterious UFO force that attacked the military expedition, destroying several ships and a significant number of planes. Now, some say this is just a case of U.S. disinformation fed to a known Soviet mole, but the beliefs of the theories are frozen shut. The beliefs of the theorists, I should say, are frozen shut. This could be proof that the U.S. potentially battled an unknown UFO force en route to the supposed secret Nazi stronghold in Antarctica. Thus, could Antarctica actually be housing a secret UFO base? Or maybe even a crash-landed UFO ship?
There's a lot of structures and bizarre shapes seen in Google Earth or satellite imagery of Antarctica's surface that many UFO fanatics say,
there's aliens! There's aliens!
For example, There's a nearly perfectly square iceberg seen in Antarctica. It looks nearly man-made, or some might say extraterrestrial made. Mm-hmm. There's a mound, a snow-covered object that appears it appears crash-landed, as you know, it's like it's on the ground and there's like this clear trail behind it where it, you know, giving the impression that it crashed. It's a crash-landed UFO ship or a piece of, or it could be a piece of rock broken off a mountain after an avalanche. We don't know. It's a thing in the ground, it's covered in snow, and there's like a trail behind it that makes it look like it slid.
Right.
You know, like it crashed.
Right.
And there's craters in Antarctica. One crater is hidden under the permafrost and quite large. It is suspected to be the entrance to the Nazi base / Agartha mentioned above. There are two other craters that very clearly look like some kind of tunnel entrance. Many UFO theorists believe that these craters were formed by a UFO buried deep in the permafrost. One even claimed that he saw the UFO originally in Google Earth, but Google has since edited the images to remove it. Now, I mean, hey, check it out for yourself, Bunk Funkers. We'll list the coordinates in the show notes, but here are the craters. Punch these numbers into Google Earth and see. I did it myself. I also realized I do not know how to read coordinates. Andy, do you know how to read longitude and latitude coordinates? We have negative 66 degrees.
I think this is 36 hours and 12.58 minutes, or it's 36 minutes and 12.58 seconds. Like minutes and seconds.
All right. Right? We're going to read this stupid style. We're going to read this, not stupid style, bunker style. You figure it out. We're also going to list this in the show notes. Negative 66 degrees, 36, one apostrophe, 12.58 quote mark, comma, plus 99 degrees. We're going to read them all. 43 apostrophe. I don't give a fuck. I'm getting through this.
This is classic.
12.72 quote mark. Okay, that's one. Longitude.
Bugfuckers, do you have your pens and papers
ready?
Get
your fucking pens and papers out. Rewind. Keep rewinding. Write it down or look in the show notes. I don't care. Here's the next one.
And this is like watching a cooking show like from the 80s when they're like, I'm going to put the recipe on so you can write it down because, you know, there was no internet.
Yeah. Okay, this next one is negative 66 degrees, 36 apostrophe, 12.8 quote mark. That was the same
12.58
one as before. 12.58 quote mark, comma, plus 99 degrees. These are exactly the same. How are these both exactly the same?
All right. Oh, whatever. It's one. It's all the same.
All right. Anyway, who knows? You got the first one. You're good enough.
Jesus Christ. If I ever met an alien, I would say, ice to meet you.
Dude. Okay. Seriously? Who fucking sent you, man?
No one. I'm just, sir, pretty chilly.
So you're some chill ice dude. Then why you bringing these fire as fuck jokes then, my man? Huh? I mean, who do you think you are coming on our show and bringing these incredible icy puns?
I'm just trying to fit in.
Yeah, well, clearly you write jokes at a much higher caliber than either of us. So
cool it.
Fuck, he's too good. Ah, I'm getting steamed. Don't say anything, Chili, okay?
Don't respond to Andy saying he's getting steamed, okay? Don't follow that up with something.
I can see those wheels turning. Yeah. Stop it.
Quit it.
God. Come on my show and fucking be funnier than I've ever been. Ever. About anything.
You always make the headliners look good.
Yeah. You realize you wouldn't have a cryo chamber if it wasn't for us, Chili? Chili Willy? Anyway. We have to keep delivering this whole enchilada on Antarctica, no matter what. That's the bunker promise and the bunker curse. Now, Antarctica might have gaping holes, secret Nazi bases, secret UFO bases, but what else? Well, some flat earthers would like to throw their hat in the ring. But like a flattened ring on the ground, I guess.
Yeah, it's not a 3D ring.
Not a 3D ring. It's just flat. The bulk of this take comes from some comments found on an Antarctica conspiracy thread on Reddit. So take with that what you will. This particular flat earther believes that Antarctica isn't even a continent, but an actual ice barrier, which no one is allowed to go past the lower parallel. Well, at least the general public is not. Why else would so many countries team up to agree that no one can own Antarctica? The real truth is that more countries lie past the Antarctica ice barrier. The Earth is either flat or much larger than what we are being told. Then they go on to talk about why the Earth is flat and mention that the satanic Freemasons have been shilling the globe concept for centuries.
Hey, you know, speaking of Freemasons, they too have their hand in the Antarctica conspiracy pile.
Boy, who knew such a cold planet was such a hotbed for conspiracy?
Oh my God, oh my God, Andy! He can switch it up. He isn't beholden to just ice puns. He can also do reverse ice puns involving hot and stuff like that. This is fucking incredible.
Dude, we're freaking doomed. We got to get rid of this guy before the episode ends.
I mean, insurmountable, but I hear you. I guess we got to come up with something, Andy.
Oh, this is getting dire.
Anyway, now the bulk of this take comes from an old 4chan post from 2016 in which the OP claims a, you know, childhood friend he knew was a rich elite Freemason. So take with that what you will. Basically, OP opens up with how the Freemasons control the flow of information and they edited the Bible and didn't release a chapter from Revelations, which explains that the Antichrist is frozen in Antarctica. The Freemasons, OP goes on, have been controlling the flow of information for forever. And the first piece of media they ever altered and controlled was the Bible. They cut out this huge portion of Revelations, the last chapter in the Bible. The portion left out explained that the Antichrist is frozen in within Antarctica. It's not exactly sure if the Antichrist is like a person or a physical being or thing even. He even says it could be a virus spreading a disease. Okay,
Oh, boy.
Moving on from that one.
Oh, no.
Anyway, OP goes on to explain that this is why the government, NWO, the Masons, etc., are interested in continuing the research in Antarctica and why they have a sort of international partnership there. Because they want to find the fucking Antichrist, mm-hmm. who is allegedly inside the frozen underground temples under the thick layers of ice in Antarctica. He's hidden in a temple.
The Antarctichrist.
The Antarctichrist. The temples are more like giant interconnected cities with ancient text, fucking runes, symbols on the walls, vials of unidentified liquids. There's living unidentified organisms. All this fucking dope shit is booby-trapped as well, like Indiana Jones style. Like you have to play a game of fucking, you get Nathan Drake from Uncharted and go fucking explore this shit.
This place sounds like my bedroom.
Bedroom's fucked up.
Runes, symbols on the walls, yeah. Unidentified liquid, organisms, booby traps.
So they've lost, the Freemasons have lost hundreds of people exploring these vast underground cities, which, I mean, they haven't even cataloged like a fraction of them. It's so vast. There's so many booby traps. And they span the entire continent. And now they're actually starting to use robots to explore. But it's tough because the robots can't always get through the fucking booby traps.
Right.
OP then goes on to say that shows like Game of Thrones are actually developed by the Freemasons to prepare the quote-unquote normies for the upcoming ice apocalypse when the Antichrist is released. I guess. I'm not exactly sure what the connection is to the Freemasons trying to prepare people for the upcoming ice apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Anyway. The White Walkers, you know, from Game of Thrones and the Night King and stuff, you know, and everyone turning into zombies. That's, I guess, what the Antichrist would do. But, you know, it might not be the best representation for the Antichrist because, you know, as we learned in season 8, all the buildup and backstory didn't really fucking matter at all. Yeah. Anyway, and, you know, some character who has no connection to the Ice King story will just swoop in out of nowhere through the darkness and stab him in the heart with fucking, what was that shit called? Dragon ice? Dragon glass?
Dragon glass.
Doesn't fucking matter. Who cares about the dragon glass?
See, the...
Didn't matter.
The Freemasons were trying to prepare us for the Antichrist.
Which was going to be a huge fucking letdown.
In order to do that, they accidentally picked the anti-showrunners to manage the whole thing. Yeah. And they fucked it up.
Yeah.
As they are wont to do.
Allegedly, Jesus is also buried next to the Antichrist. And possibly both are in liquid form. And so it's kind of like a, you got to like, you know, it's like a deal or no deal thing. Like, you know, maybe Howie Mandel's down there and he's got, you can pick one.
Yeah. This is the Princess Bride. This is a classic.
The Princess Bride.
One, you know.
You mean Sophie's Choice?
No, this is the Princess Bride.
What is the Princess Bride?
One glass of wine has poison in it. The other glass.
Right.
Except in this one,
One
glass is piss and one glass is lemonade. You have to pick the right one.
That's right. One's Jesus in liquid form and one is.
The Antarctic Christ in liquid.
That's
form.
What maybe they mean by the body and blood of Christ. Maybe it's a liquid. So we'll have to choose the right vial. Hopefully the Freemasons don't get to it first because they're going to pick the Antichrist. But maybe they'll choose Jesus. You don't know.
You know, if you put the Antichrist in your car won't freeze in the winter. Antichrist freeze. Antifreeze Christ.
And you can bring it to Antarctica.
Yeah, drive your car to Antarctica.
Inside, though, Andy, get this. OP says they also have seen a giant skeleton wearing golden armor holding a reptile skull. Which again, can we just say, is really helping Antarctica's claim as the most metal fucking place on Earth.
Yeah, I want that tattooed on my chest.
That would be a badass tattoo.
I mean,
I didn't think you could get more badass, but that would make you more badass.
Yeah, you could laser off the bald eagle driving a Jeep Wrangler through a ring of fire and put this skeleton wearing golden armor holding a reptile skull.
That's fucking badass. That's
badass. All right, Bunk Funkies, time to rub our hands together for warmth and get to the skeptic's take on these many Antarctica claims. Let's start with the idea that the general public isn't allowed to go to Antarctica. Whenever the general public isn't allowed somewhere, that's a hotbed for conspiracies. Area 51, the tunnels under the Denver airport, the ball pits at Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, what secrets are they hiding?
Andy, you're not allowed in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese because you screamed, "Cannonballs!" with your mouth full of pizza and then dove into the ball pit and crushed a child's spine.
You're right, Art. Its secrets will remain a mystery. Probably aliens. Anywho, but with Antarctica, travel restrictions are half true. There are very much restricted areas to Antarctica where you are not allowed to go. There's up to 72 areas at the time of this recording. Some as small as 3/100ths of a square kilometer, which is 0.012 square miles, and some entire straits as big as 915.8 square kilometers, 353.6 square miles. These areas are restricted due to environmental hazards, ecological protection, or scientific research interest. Antarctica is a dangerous place where the weather can and has killed travelers. It's not very safe to travel alone, and solo travelers are required to phone in every single day. Okay, Mom. But you can go there. The general public can go to Antarctica via various travel packages and cruise excursions. There's roughly a 90-day period between mid-November and February when it's best to go due to the weather being absolute shit the rest of the year. Like a lot of places, you gotta go during the summer.
You gotta go.
And you can just go. I mean, it's not exactly accommodating. There's no fucking Holiday Inn Express Antarctica. It sucks there. It's cold as fuck. There's penguins everywhere, shitting all over the ice.
They do.
You can take your own boat to Antarctica and camp there and trek around, but let's be honest, you're probably going to die. I mean, fuck, I would 100% die. 1,000% would die.
Yeah.
Probably on the boat trip. I would survive the fucking boat ride.
I mean, same for me.
I would not.
But the fact remains that the major world powers that make up the Antarctic Treaty System can restrict where you can and cannot go when you come to Antarctica, which is fine for skeptics and a catalyst for conspiracy theorists.
Now, let's take an excursion ourselves over to Admiral Richard E. Byrd's infamous quote about the saucers flying all over the place at the poles. Skeptics point out that Byrd was misquoted because it was, you know, the article was printed in Spanish and then translated to that above quote as flying objects which could fly from pole to pole at incredible speeds, end quote. Here is a better translation of that real quote and real article, quote, Admiral Richard E. Byrd warned today that the United States should adopt measures of protection against the possibility of an invasion of the country by hostile planes coming from the polar regions. The admiral explained that he was not trying to scare anyone, but the cruel reality is that in case of a new war, the United States could be attacked by planes flying over one or both poles. This statement was made as part of a recapitulation of his polar experience in an extensive interview with International News Services. Talking about the recently completed expedition, Byrd says that the most important result of his observations and discoveries is the potential effect that they have in relation to the security of the United States. The fantastic speeds with which the world is shrinking, recalled the Admiral, is one of the most important lessons learned during his recent Antarctic exploration. I have to warn my compatriots that the time has ended when we were able to take refuge in our isolation and rely on the certainty that distances, the oceans, and the poles were a guarantee of safety, end quote. He meant the reality is that U.S. enemies could likely come from either pole, meaning we were no longer as safe as we feel. Okay, the enemy was not over there in Europe.
Over there.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we will fight our country's battles over land and air and sea.
Ma, 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 ma. Anchors away, my bunkers. Boys.
Anchors away. Anyway.
We are the Air Force.
Do, 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 do. We fly our planes, they go zip, zip. Bah, 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 bah.
Ah, yes, we know all the service branches theme songs.
All those fun show tunes.
Coast Guard, here we are. Give us your drugs and get out of your boats.
Coast Guard, meet the Coast Guard. They're our regular dudes who swim in boats. Gonna find those drugs and stop you from riding on the left side of a wake.
Dun, da da dun, da da dun, 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 dun. Space Force. It counts. It's a branch.
It is. Space Force. New
petition for that to be the theme song for the Space Force. Please sign it on change.xxx.
Anyway, he was saying the enemy could have bases anywhere. You know, this was, you got to understand, he quoted this at the beginning of the new Cold War for Byrd and Americans alike, where they had to, like, you know, fear enemy attacks from any angle, pole to pole, was a metaphor for the enemy could be anywhere.
I give my enemies the cold shoulder.
I want to hate you so much, but I just fucking respect you. Sir Pretty Chili, you honestly might be a comedic genius. I mean, is that fair to say?
Andy, I can't deny it either. I gotta say, I agree.
If I was capable of feeling warmth, I would be blushing.
Wow.
Incredible. Jesus.
Unreal. I don't know. I think my attitude is changing on this guy.
Yeah. I'm doing a 180 here.
Well, we're going to take a little 180 here while we're talking about Admiral Byrd and pivot to talking about Operation High Jump. Antarctica theorists want to believe that Operation High Jump was a military operation designed to take out the Nazis held up in their secret little Nazi base under the ice caves where they worked with their aliens on secret flying saucer tech. And while that is very close to my fanfic, Captain Art America, the Winter Soldier, just, you know, with less sex and whatever. But anyway, the skeptics
doesn't Captain Art America have graphic sex with Bucky?
I mean, Bucky Buxom Blonde, his trusty partner. I mean, yeah, they have a complicated relationship.
And doesn't Captain Art America also fuck Red Skull?
I mean, define fuck.
And doesn't he also fuck his own shield?
All right. You know what? It's a fucking rough draft, okay, guys? Sheesh. I knew I shouldn't have left my fanfic lying on the bunker coffee table with a big sign that said, please don't read. Seriously, guys, don't read it. Seriously. Captain Art America, he's a really cool dude. And, you know, they give him a super serum that makes him cool and likable. And he doesn't get nervous when he gets invited to parties with people he doesn't know. Okay? So he's a cool guy. All right? A lot of people want to be around him. He looks good in sunglasses. And his jeans always fit.
But then he fucked his shield.
It's a metaphor. And I'm not going to fucking explain it to you, okay? Because clearly you don't get it. Clearly Sir Pretty Chili doesn't get it.
I think I get it pretty clearly. I think it's you and you're having sex with his shield. And honestly, you might need to take a cold shower.
God damn it, he's so good.
To put out your boner.
Oh my God. The icing on the cake. Oh my God. He had me at cold shower. And then he just dropped that boner line on me.
The icing?
Oh, fuck!
On the cake?
Oh, my God! He's so quick! How does he do it?
This is unbelievable. I'm fucking sweating. Anywho.
Yeah, me too. It may or may not be related.
I mean, my cheeks hurt from smiling at these jokes. Because they're fucking good, dude. I mean, the Bunkfuckers, if you're not in, the Bunkfuckers are in stitches.
Yeah, they're in stitches. You can hear them laughing.
Anywho.
This is live.
Theorists say Operation High Jump was a military endeavor. That's what they think. Skeptics actually agree?
That's right, Art.
Oh, what?
Well, partially. Oh. Operation High Jump was totally a military training and research mission. Their goal was indeed to try and train armed forces in the frigid winters to prepare for war with Russia. This was at the start of the new Cold War, and the U.S. was worried about the growing Soviet powers. They wanted to prepare themselves for an Arctic fight. I mean, while they were out there, they did a little recon of the area as well. But the Operation High Jump ships didn't leave the U.S. until late in the Antarctica traveling seasons, December 2nd, 1946. They arrived to the Ross Sea after encountering a troublesome 1,000-kilometer-wide belt of pack ice. They unloaded supplies for Little America 4 on January 15, 1947, and then left on February 23, 1947 because the winter got so bad and they wanted to avoid ice damage to the couple of ships which didn't have ice strengthening. That was the mission. Pretty boring stuff. A short summer season, a late start to the mission, bad weather. Operation High Jump was never intended to be strict on dates. It was intended to function based on weather conditions. All activities in Antarctica function off the weather. Plus, skeptics point out that Operation High Jump was documented pretty thoroughly. There were 11 journalists accompanying the mission, some of whom went on to write books about the mission right after it, and even an article about it in National Geographic. While it was confidential, it was not secret. No one reported any Nazis or flying saucers.
While Operation High Jump was indeed military in nature, it wasn't the fantastical dogfight as theorists would believe. However, it wasn't the only military operation in town. Enter one, Operation Tabarin. Story time!
Yay!
You may have heard this one earlier, but we're going to retell it with a little bit of a twist. This is like Diet Coke with lime. You know, before it was Diet Coke, now we're presenting Diet Coke with lime.
They also had a lemon version.
The lime? Diet Coke with lime might be the superior version.
It is the superior version.
You think
and
so?
There's no debate.
There's no debate.
No, Bunkfuckers, if you disagree with that, I'm sorry, but ding dong, your opinion's wrong.
Oh, man. Andy hit y'all with the ding dong. What you gonna do? He rang your bell. Bunkfuckers.
Woo.
They're steamed.
I'm not ding dong ditching. I'm standing on your porch until Woo-wee. You get over it.
Yeah, you're dropping your own poop in that little baggie and setting it on fire and standing right there and saying, look what I did.
I shit and I set it on fire. Now your porch is on fire.
Now you're going to stamp it out yourself.
Now your porch is on fire. Fuck. Fuck you.
So, as we mentioned, the Nazis made an expedition to Antarctica in 1938 on the Schwabenland to set up a base in the Queen Maud Land area called New Schwabia. Deeper in Antarctica, they set up another, more permanent base called New Berchtesgaden. How would you pronounce that? Berchtesgaden.
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 I suppose.
After the Bavarian town overlooked by the Kelstein House, the Eagle's Nest retreat. Andy's impressed. He gave me the Robert De Niro look.
The Kelstein House.
The Kelstein House.
Jeez.
Berchtesgaden.
Man.
I only had to practice for a couple days. Anyway, here they discover the vast network of underground tunnels, including a warm geothermal lake, where they constructed a large underground city called New Berlin, or Base 211. They call it Base 311. Anyway. The British discovered the base and mounted an attack in 1943 called Operation Tabarin. But the damn Nazis were far more entrenched in Antarctica and well-supplied, and the British outposts were besieged throughout the end of the war in 1945. After Germany surrendered in 1945, two German submarines, the boats, not the sandwiches, the U-530 and the U-977 sailed into port to surrender in Argentina. 2 or 3 months later, the than they were supposed to, respectively. And the reason for the delay? They weren't sailing the Atlantic, as they claimed. They were coming from the base in Antarctica. Dun, dun, dun. So the Brits got wind of this and sent the SAS, the Special Air Service, Britain's elite spec ops troops, to rescue the survivors of Operation Tabarin and destroy the new British Garden base. Unfortunately, the Nazis held them off as well, and the mission was a failure. So it was up to the good old US of A to help out our friends across the pond.
As usual.
As usual, Operation High Jump was sent to destroy the Nazi icy fortress with 13 ships, 4,700 men, including a submarine and an aircraft carrier with 33 aircraft. They were sure to wipe out the Nazi scum. But alas, the Nazis again defeated the Allies, and their Antarctic fortress stood strong, and for the next 11 years, thrived unperturbed. But that was until 1958, when the United States enacted a covert operation, Operation Argus, and detonated three W-25 warheads. New British Garden was lit up like a damn Christmas tree, and we here in America call that a Chuck fucking Yeager Christmas.
Dropping nukes on Antarctica.
Dropping fucking WMDs on fucking...
Pew, pew, pew!
Wherever, Chuck fucking Yeager says, Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
Merry Christmas, mother. Those bombs, those warheads, they had a picture of Chuck fucking Yeager's asshole on them. And it said, kiss this, Nazi shit.
And the Nazi stronghold was Nomo.
So that story should sound pretty familiar, albeit with a few twists, as it was basically the main story of the secret Nazi base in Antarctica. However, theorists would say that the reasons the Nazis held off the Allies so much was because of their flying saucers and laser beams and other alien tech. Skeptics, on the other hand, say, well, there's actually some bona fide kernels of truth to that story.
What?
I mean, not the alien tech part, but the military operations did indeed take place. The crux is that the connection between these ops and fighting Nazis in a secret Arctic base is not so easily made. The German submarine U-530 did indeed surrender at a port in Argentina 2 months after the German surrender. When it did, a Hungarian writer who had exiled to Argentina during the war, Ladislaus Szabo, wrote a sensational story about it and what he believed happened in the Argentinian newspaper La Critica. He claimed Hitler survived the war and escaped in an elaborate plan to the secret Nazi fortress in Antarctica. The story went viral for 1940s.
Yeah, before virality, before YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And adding fuel to its fire was the fact that 1 month later, the German submarine U-977 came into port in Argentina and surrendered. People were like, ooh, fuck! Szabo was right, my dude! I mean, they probably didn't say it like that exactly, but it was the subtext. You can tell that's what they meant.
They believed him. They were like, oh, fuck, this dude wasn't lying.
Yeah. The people really believed Szabo and had uncovered a secret Nazi convoy coming and going to Antarctica, ferrying supplies. This is, of course, connected to the theory that Hitler never died, and you can get that whole enchilada on that in episode 26 of our show. Wow.
That's right.
Episode number.
That's, yeah. Now, Szabo, of course, followed up with a full-length book titled Hitler est vivant. Hitler is alive. You gotta capitalize on that grift, baby.
Ooh, gotta make that book money.
Thing is, Operation Argus, Operation High Jump, Operation Tabarin, all real. Kernels of truth. Operation Argus was a secret mission, but has since been declassified and even published in the New York Times. They launched extreme high-altitude bursts over the South Atlantic, south of Cape Town, and nowhere near Queen Maud Land in Antarctica. In fact, ice core data today proves that no nukes have ever exploded over Queen Maud Land. The nearest of Operation Argus's three was, their three nukes, was a full 2,400 kilometers or 1,500 miles north of the Antarctic shore. Now, we've covered the skeptics' take on Operation High Jump already, but again, 11 journalists on board, no indication that there was any fighting. It was just a research and training mission. Now, what about those pesky German submarines? Could they make the trek to and from Antarctica, ferrying supplies and Nazi forces? Well, here's what the icy blue gaze of the real Mr. Freeze, Brian Dunning, had to say.
Ooh.
You look into those icy blues, you know he's going to give you a little bit of his truth. Right. He's going to drop trout and you're going to see his truth.
He whittled his truth into a shiv.
He's going to shank you with that icicle.
Yeah.
Quote, the abilities of U-530 and U-977 to have visited Queen Maudlin before surrendering in Argentina has also been called into question. First, neither had time, though it's certainly possible their logs had been forged, so we can set that aside. What we can't set aside is the impossibility of them reaching the coast, no matter how much time they had. Neither subtype had the capability of breaking through ice from below. Indeed, they were always at great risk of damage from ice. These were air-breathing subs. They needed to surface at least every 2 days to run their diesels, to recharge their batteries, and to collect air for the crew to breathe. Thick sea ice extended a minimum of 1,000 kilometers, 600 miles, from Queen Maudlin at that time of year, making a round trip to the coast a 2,000-kilometer journey. Traveling under ice on batteries, these subs could manage perhaps 9 kilometers per hour, making it a 9 or 10 day trip. All this with no ability to navigate, charge batteries, allow the crew to breathe, or even get through the ice to surface once they had reached the shore. No, neither U-530 nor U-977 ever visited Queen Maudlin, end quote.
When it comes to conspiracies, HBD is a definite ice queen.
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo-wee. You know it, Chili. Ooh. He gets it.
Damn.
This guy's getting it,
getting
dude.
It. Oh, man.
He's fucking lighting him up.
I mean, he's cold, but he's fucking lighting shit up.
Yeah, dude.
And finally, Britain's Operation Tabarin was also a real operation, but much like Operation High Jump, it wasn't some crazy military battle. Their mission was to establish 3 scientific research locations, one on the Antarctic Peninsula with 13 men and 2 on nearby islands with 5 and 9 men, respectively. They were about 2,500 kilometers or 1,500 miles from Queen Maudlin and nowhere near any supposed Nazi strongholds. Speaking of that supposed Nazi stronghold, was New Berchtesgaden even real? The skeptics say, no. The Schwabenland was indeed ordered by Hermann Göring as part of Germany's 4-year economic development plan because Germany had a strong interest in whaling in the South Atlantic. Schwabenland was there only 1 month before the war broke out and it left. They launched a few planes and discovered a mountain range, and with the exception of 3 landings, each lasting only a few hours, no Nazi bases were ever established on Antarctica. And that, dear Bunk Funkers, is the whole penguin stuffed enchilada on Antarctica. There's really only one thing left to wrap up here.
This is unprecedented, Bunk Funkers.
Wow. Sir Pretty Chili, listen. Art and I have been talking. Had a lot of time to think.
We can communicate non-verbally very well.
Yeah. And with sign, you know.
Yeah.
Different eyes
and sign movements.
We've been talking, and it's clear that you're friggin' hilarious. A truly gifted comedian. And, well, we'd like to make you a permanent member, a permanent host of Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast.
Guys, first of all, thank you. What a privilege. What an honor.
Oh, great. So we're all set then.
But I can't accept. The people at the Tonight Show contacted me, and they think I'm so funny. They're offering me Jimmy Fallon's job on the spot.
They're listening?
Yes, always. Anyway, thanks, guys, for everything.
Thank you, Sir Pretty Chili. You're really cool.
My work here is done. Oink.
That motherfucker stole our bit!
Son of a bitch. Fucking asshole. What a fucking prick. This piece of shit.
He's cold as something you haven't microwaved yet.
Came in here, fucking used us. He fucking dropped us in his fucking, you know, slush of shit. Like we were some kind of like, I don't know, hard, cold water thing. I mean, what the fuck? Jimmy Fallon's job? That could be my job. I could be Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy fucking Fallon. Now we got fucking Sir Pretty Chili, the late show with Sir Pretty Chili. Tonight Show, was Sir Pretty Chili. Fucking, he's so goddamn funny. So it's good. Not fucking fair. It's not
fair. Anyway. Fuck this.
Fucking asshole.
Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast will be right back after this brief message.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome back, Bunkfuckers. That was our research of Antarctica. It's a continent. It's on the South Pole. It's cold. It's cool. Andy?
I live in North America. I guess you could call me incontinent. Also, I piss my pants a lot because I can't control my bladder.
That's true. Andy, this is a fun one.
This is a fun topic.
Isn't it? It's like a comic. It's like a silly, pulpy story.
This is like a comic book.
There are secret Nazi bases hidden in Antarctica.
Nazi bases on Antarctica.
Boys and, you know.
You know what I like about this one the best?
What?
The whole thing the best.
Yeah.
Is that there's just enough there. You know what I mean?
I guess so.
It's not like people just completely made up the Nazis going to Antarctica.
Right. They went there. There's fucking photos.
It's not that people made up huge military operations on Antarctica.
It happened.
It's just, you know, there are differing opinions about what the conclusions of those events
were. You
can't
really connect the dots.
Yeah. There's some missing information.
Right.
But I think that it's a really fun topic. And, I don't know. You ever been to Antarctica?
No, I've never been to Antarctica. Have you?
You're kind
ever
of a
been?
Cruise guy. Have you ever considered a cruise?
I don't like cruises. I keep getting invited to them.
Oh, I've never been on a cruise.
Have you ever been to Antarctica?
No, but I do know somebody who's been to Antarctica.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm. And I've seen a picture of him in Antarctica.
What kind of picture?
So it was one of these like tasteful nudes. Taken on an ice shelf.
Oh God!
No, it's just like him in a boat with a bunch of other people. You know, it's like one of these expedition type of deals. Where
did he land in Antarctica?
I don't think so. I think this is one of those like where you cruise out from like South America or whatever.
I'm not feeling that.
They kind of like take you to the continent, and you get to like trek there a little bit.
Oh, he got to step foot on Antarctica.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay. If you don't get to step foot on it, not worth.
No, I wouldn't want to just do a float by. I want to actually land. But it's like one of those things where I don't think they have like ports and stuff, so you can't bring a big boat. You got to like
there's literally just fucking little tiny research bases set up all over the place. It's not a fucking there's nothing fun to do.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous too, cuz there's like fucking crevasses. It's cold as fuck.
Yeah.
It's so cold there.
Yeah.
So this whole like, you know,
well, you're not allowed to go there.
It's like, well, sometimes there's good reason because.
You know what's funny, though, to me?
What?
Is that there's so much fun lore about Antarctica.
Oh, yeah.
And the South Pole.
Yeah.
And the only thing the North Pole really gets is Santa Claus.
And polar bears.
But I mean, they live there. That's like.
Coca-Cola bears.
Coca-Cola bears, yeah. But that's kind of Santa adjacent, if you ask me.
North Pole is like this fucking chill place. And everyone's like, hell yeah, North Pole, dude.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, why is the North Pole not more controversial?
I don't know. I think it got discovered earlier.
Yeah, well, people do live a lot closer to it.
That's true.
There are, you know, what? I think in Canada, there are some like cities that are like,
oh yeah,
on the edge or inside the Arctic Circle?
Nome. I think Nome, Alaska is pretty close, if I'm not mistaken, Bunkfunkers, who live in Alaska.
It used to be called Barrow, Alaska, but now it has a more, like a name, like a more indigenous name, an Indian name for it. And I can't remember what it is. So I apologize to any of our Bunkfunkers in Alaska that I don't remember this, but that's the, if I'm not mistaken, it's the northernmost settlement in the United States.
Wow.
And maybe the northernmost in North America, but I do know that there are some that are like far up there in like Nunavut and in Canada.
It's a very, I mean, obviously any of our Alaskan listeners know the South Pole functions much like this as well, with these crazy day-night cycles where part of the year it's just light all day long. And then the other part of the year, it's there's like just fucking eternal darkness or something like that. Or it's like it'll be light out at midnight. And when I went to Alaska, that was the case. And it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
You're like doing laundry at like, you know, eight, nine o'clock at night, bright, perfectly light outside. It's so wild.
Yeah.
It's very, but you know, you get accustomed to it. I'm sure any of our Alaskan listeners can let us know.
Yeah.
I also want to know, any of our Alaskan listeners, do you guys like snow? You like it? Let us know.
If we have any Alaskan listeners,
because
I gotta know.
I don't like that snow.
I gotta know. You got a rap sheet? You criminal?
A lot of criminals in Alaska? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's like a place, you know, you can like, you kind of start fresh. Like,
really?
Yeah, Alaska
has. Oh, that's what they did in the Simpsons movie, right?
Yeah, Alaska has like a high percentage of ex-cons
living
in there. I know that sounded judgmental and I didn't mean it to sound that way.
No, Alaska's badass, dude.
Alaska,
you should
is
definitely,
a place
if you're
I
listening, go take a trip there.
Yeah.
Antarctica's cool, dude. I would go to Antarctica. I have no qualms going there.
Do you realize what a fucking deal we got for Alaska? Oh my God.
Yeah, we basically fucking that and Louisiana. That whole thing.
Oh
fucking,
my God.
We fucking rob them.
We gotta fucking get out of the fucking war business and get back into the land buying business, because we fucking nailed it every time.
Yeah. Yeah, Alaska, there's like what, a ton of fucking oil in there and like
gold.
That was the beautiful tourist location. Bears. The circus industry benefited from that.
Humongous bears. Timber. Natural gas.
Oh yeah. Fish.
Delicious salmon.
Probably the best salmon I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Oof. Fresh.
Right out from the oceans from the or Pacific the streams waters. Or wherever the fuck they live.
Well,
on the land, in the trees, wherever.
One of the few fish that lives in both.
The trees?
In the trees, the fish, the salmon. We all know the famous
They might
tree
as well
salmon.
Be raining from the fucking sky. I will say this, though. A lot of Alaska, a lot of these towns in Alaska, these like old, like, they used to be like kind of gold rushy towns. There's a lot of like tourist attractions and there's like these fucking shops where like that's how they make their money. And you find the same goddamn t-shirts, like t-shirts that your dad would wear, where it's like a fucking, it's like, I went out fishing and I left my wife in the ocean. Ah! I wish I could use my wife as a piece of bait and I made a little shark would eat her. Ah! Like those kind of fucking shirts.
I visited the Davidson, Alaska whorehouse, and all I got was gonorrhea from a whore.
Famously, I took a family
and
trip.
And this t-shirt.
I took a family trip to Alaska at the prime
age.
God,
why is this the segue? Where is this story going?
It's connected. Oh my God. I took a family trip to Alaska at the prime puberty age of like, what, like 12, 13. I can't remember exactly, but I was like.
Yeah, I went through puberty at 17 and a half.
Whatever age, I was like that age where I fucking hated being there. I didn't want to be there. I was so angsty. My parents kept making me take pictures constantly. I hated that.
Yeah.
You're going through changes.
Made you take pictures of the two of them kissing.
Christ.
They were fucking Christ.
Yeah, we're having sex with Jesus Christ.
We were on a trip with a Jesus Christ impersonator.
I wore a different Nirvana shirt every single day. Wow. I was so angsty. Black. I had this fucking peach. Anyway, enough about me. So I don't want to be there, even though in retrospect, this is probably one of the coolest vacations we ever got to take. And I would definitely go back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go to one of these like little tourist attraction dinner and a show. And this show is like, it's like a old timey gold prospectors. There's gold in them there hills.
I know. Oh, you want me to do an old timey prospector?
Fish is probably listening. He would love to hear that.
Well, how else would my mule get knock-kneed?
You just got to say there's gold in them there.
Oh, that's it? There's gold in them there hills.
All right, good enough. I tried my best. Anyway, you can lead a horse to water, okay?
Is that a thing for fish?
Yeah, I had you do that sound effect for him.
Oh, okay. Anyway. There's gold in them thar hills.
All right, we got it.
How else would my mule get knock-kneed?
Okay, thank you. And then, so we go, we do this dinner and a show, and there's like this woman who's playing like the town whore, basically, mm-hmm. and she'll go around and give people a kiss for money. Literally whoring. I mean, like, literally, like, that's... So you give her like a couple
bucks. She's
not
playing the town whore. She just is a whore. There's nothing wrong with that. She's, you know,
actress,
a very mild
trying prostitution. Trying to get by. You know, so it's funny. Give a couple dollars. She'll give a kiss on the cheek. You get to take a photo. She's dressed like
what does she do if you give her $5?
You don't want to know. So of course, you know, me being very awkward, I'm trying to get to the end of this very boring story. And so of course my dad puts money in the jar and makes her kiss me. Very embarrassingly, and takes a photo of it. That's the whole story. So you were joking about the horrors.
Hey, if I pay you money, will you come kiss a minor?
She was basically like, I don't think I'm allowed to do this. And they're like, it's fine. And I was like 12 or 13.
And I'm not talking guys who work in the mines either. We're talking underage hunks.
So Alaska's got a lot of fun stuff going on. I bought a t-shirt with the Mona Lisa. It was a salmon dressed like the Mona Lisa on it.
Wow.
So for a brief period of time, I was really into t-shirts with funny sayings on them.
You ever see the, like, salmon are kind of ugly.
They are ugly. A lot of people have said that we look like salmons.
Yeah, they do. Because we got real ugly faces, weird teeth.
Yeah.
And we're all pink on the inside.
True. Yeah, we're very salmon-looking boys. So, Antarctica's cool. I would go. Would you go to Antarctica, Andy? Would you ever take a little trek down there? You don't fucking like camping, so I don't think you'd like to stay there.
Hey, I'd go to Antarctica, though.
Would you really?
Yeah.
I feel like I thought your response would be like, I could see snow outside my window.
No, I think that Alaska seems like it's beautiful.
No, not Alaska.
Wait, what did you say? Antarctica?
Antarctica.
Oh, fuck. I got caught up on Alaska.
Alaska's great.
So, did you get kissed by a prostitute in Antarctica or Alaska?
I got kissed by one in Antarctica. It was a penguin. It was very cute.
I did. I
it
have
was a penguin
been,
prostitute.
I have been to Antarctica. I went to Dolly Parton's Dixie Stampede in Antarctica.
Fuck you.
It's, you know, the most southern thing you can do. No, would I go to Antarctica?
I'm from the real fucking south, Antarctica. All right?
All right.
This is how we do things down here, huh?
Hey,
Neil Young, you want to talk about a Southern man? I'm a real Southern man. You ain't bugged with nobody. You ain't from Antarctica.
My name's Leonard Skinner.
My name's Leonard Skinner.
Like a real Southerner.
We're just a couple of country boys. Like causing debauchery. I get real drunk and sometimes I punch Eric King in the mouth and then he's going to quit the band and never give anybody his drugs. Go back to touring with the Beach Boys, you fucking little puss. I'm a real Southerner. I just watched a documentary on Leonard Skinner.
Oh, I was going to say, wow. I can't keep up with this.
Yeah, but you knew Eric King.
Mm-hmm.
Toured with the Beach Boys.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people did. What did he do?
Guitar player.
Mm-hmm. When, in the 70s?
Well, no, it would have to be in the probably late 60s, early 70s.
Wow.
Skinner formed, I think, in 73. Yeah. He didn't join until like 74.
Gotcha.
74. Well, the first album came out in 73.
Gotcha.
Sweet Home Antarctica.
Where the skies is kind of blue, actually. Sweet Home Alabama. Oh, God, it's fucking cold. Yeah, I'd go to Antarctica, though.
You would?
I mean, if for no other reason, just to say that I would go.
I wonder how long it takes to get out there. I should look that up. Because you're traveling from Argentina, so at least you get to go to Argentina, have a little fun time in Argentina.
See, and I think that would be part of the fun, too, is you kind of get to go to, like, you could go to, like, Patagonia.
Oh, yeah.
You could, like, you know, get to that, like, polar, like, tip of Antarctica. Antarctica, fuck.
You
Argentina.
Are fucking poo brand.
God damn.
What the fuck?
What is with all these fucking locations with A names? Fuck.
Golly.
Alaska, Antarctica, Argentina. I mean, oh, my fucking God. Pick a different letter, people.
Yeah, I want to go to...
Why can't we call it Bantarctica?
Yeah, Bantarctica.
Bantarctica.
What's your favorite theory out of these theories, Andy? You got a favorite theory out of these theories?
You know, I think... I mean, I got to be honest, the Antichrist in a liquid buried next to liquid Jesus is pretty freaking good.
It's pretty fucking good.
Pretty good. I mean... Creativity wise, I like it. I think though that there's just, this is one of those things, like, as far as like storytelling goes, like I would love to see a movie based on this because it would be a lot like Alien versus Predator, but hopefully they would make it good.
Yeah.
Instead of that movie, which was not good.
One of the five you've seen.
Yeah, that's one of all the movies that I could have watched. I
Congo?
Congo and Alien versus Predator.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Never seen the original Alien or Aliens 2, but
nope. I haven't even seen the original Predator all the way through.
Jesus Christ.
So I think that would make a good movie, but I think that my favorite, you know, there's like nothing backing it, right? I mean, there's absolutely nothing. This is literally just fanfic about Antarctica.
It's not even that good of storytelling. It's just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
This whole like idea that like I don't get that. Like, I don't know why. Maybe it's because we haven't really covered the Freemasons in depth yet, or some of this stuff.
Wow, talk about a hogged out episode.
Oh,
talk about the Freemasons. We talk about the Freemasons all the time. We've never done a whole episode on Freemasons.
This idea that they're like putting out content to prepare us for something that they're going to cause. It's like, well, why?
It's so much like Project Bluebeam in that regard. Like, oh, they don't want you to break your brains completely. So they have to like prepare you.
But at least Project Bluebeam's like, no, they're going to come enslave all the Christians and fucking there's going to be colored walkways.
Yeah, this is one where there's no apparent reason for them to do that.
Just to get us, why are they, get they're us, trying just, to find the Antichrist to take over the world, I guess?
Yeah.
To have like unlimited power, I guess, but then they also want to prepare us for it.
Yeah.
But they're going to like create an ice apocalypse. Like, they're not going to do that. They want to live on this fucking planet.
Yeah.
Or unless I guess they want to leave to a different planet.
They want to go live with the reptilians.
Access a super world.
But it's fun, but I gotta say my favorite is Secret Nazi Base.
Secret Nazi Base is just chef's kiss.
Two Nazi bases, huge war efforts from both Britain and the USA.
It's beautiful, like pulpy, fucking goofy B movie. You could definitely see like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 doing an episode on some movie that covers this.
I feel like somebody read about all these events and was like, well, that's fucking boring. And then was like, you know what would be way cooler?
Well, I mean, the idea that the Nazis have this flying saucer tech, you know, that's been a long running thing. And maybe one day we'll do a Thule Society episode. But, it's just fun. I mean, it's just funny. It's crazy. It's fucking stupid.
It's awesome.
They have this like, you know. Now they're fighting intergalactic wars. And they've been fighting them for centuries. It goes on further. I mean, when I was doing some of the research for this, it's like that stuff goes on so much further. There's like a light side and a dark side. And there's like luckily America has now transitioned to fighting against the dark fleet and the reptilians in the intergalactic war. And there's like all these space politics happening. We don't even realize it.
Oh, I know.
I almost wish that was real.
Yeah.
Cause that would make so much, that would be so much like, wouldn't that, do you feel like that would be so much easier to swallow? It's like, actually, yeah, all that is real. The Nazis exist. There's a dark fleet. We're fighting alien reptilian. We're fighting alien battles in space. And it's like, oh, so there isn't just like, you know, some sort of, it's not like there's like, you know, it's not like, you know, things are being built with like slave labor and like, you know, all these other like fucking horrible things. Like, it's not like, you know, there's factory farm, like, all the stuff that exists in the real world that's like unfathomable to think about. that we just do every single day. It's like, no, actually, yeah, it's just all based on the fact that there's alien forces in space and we're all fighting. It's like, oh, that's a lot easier to swallow.
Yeah, I think that it's, I find it hard. Like, I understand that, you know, if people found out that extraterrestrials are real,
yeah,
that would sort of shift the paradigm a little bit of human existence.
I'm saying it would make like our existence easier to swallow.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that people don't give that enough credit because, like you said, it sort of alleviates us of a lot of responsibility. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, we don't ever have to sit back and be like, oh, we did all these horrible things. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, we built the pyramid because of people didn't have a choice. They had to do it. And it's like, oh, they were taken care of, quote unquote, you know, like by the Pharaoh. I mean, it's just like,
it was aliens.
Yeah.
It's like,
all right. Oh, they were helping us and we were helping them. What a mutually beneficial. Oh, this wasn't just a monument built to vanity. Just to press the boundaries of a king's power.
Yeah.
Absolute power over its subjects. No, it was a cooperation with aliens.
Yeah. It's like, oh, there's no government spying programs going on. This is aliens.
Yeah.
We just can't let you know about the. All right. Well, I guess life isn't so fucking bad.
But you know what? You know what, though?
Yeah.
No matter what scenario you pick, doesn't matter. The Nazis fucking suck.
Yeah, that's right.
Fuck the reptilians and fuck the Nazis.
That's right.
If you're a reptilian listening, or if you're a Nazi listening, fuck you.
Yeah. You fucking dark fleet motherfuckers. Light fleet's gonna take you out.
Pew pew! Zap!
Do you think you'll, Andy, do you think in the future, do you think you'll join Space Force? Think you'll have a shot as a fucking fighter pilot?
Yeah, I think so. Spaceship? I mean, yeah, I think I will be in the running to be a spaceship for Space Force.
You're going to be a spaceship.
Yeah, they're going to, you know, stretch my skin out and tan it and it'll
right.
be super strong. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Space Force draft when that gets reinstituted.
Yeah, being going to go high up on the draft.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'll be first rounder or second rounder?
First pick. I'm hoping to be in the top 10 overall.
Maybe fall to the middle so you don't fall to an extremely shitty team.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to get for the, you know.
Yeah, you don't want the Browns.
Rigel
or the...
7. Rigel 7 Commandos. I want to be on the
New England Patriots.
I want to be the Antares 1 Rough Riders.
Wow, the CFL.
Yeah.
Canadian football team does have some Argonauts.
Argonauts, that's a fun one.
That's a very fun name. Yeah, I don't think either of us are making the fucking Space Force. That's
no,
for sure.
No. I wouldn't be able to do any of that. I don't have good enough reflexes to fly a plane, let alone a supersonic.
We would
aircraft.
Definitely be like fucking space fodder in some kind of Ender's Game scenario. Like, they would just send us in to crash into other ships.
I mean, in every conflict on Earth, I'm nothing. The most that I rise to is liability. Like, at best, I'm a liability for all sides. I'm not worth anything to an enemy. So if I'm captured, it means nothing. You know, they went to all this trouble for nothing. If I'm not an asset to the side I'm on, to my own country, I, at best, I'm a liability. And at worst, I'm detrimental to the efforts of the side I'm on.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I agree. You are. I'm just trying to move the discussion. I'm trying to think of where to go next here. What
was your favorite theory? Nazis?
No, yeah. That secret base thing, because it's very pulpy. It's very fucking silly.
Yeah.
You know,
it's no wonder you were inspired to write Captain Art America, because it has a very Captain America feel to it.
100% true.
Yeah.
I think HBD even mentions that.
Yeah.
Some about this sounding like a Captain America story. Hogged out Brian Dunning. Yeah, I don't know, Andy. I mean, I don't know. The gaping holes, you know, it's this entrance to the Hollow Earth. You know, I don't know anything about the Hollow Earth. I think the Hollow Earth would be fun. I think that's what I said on the Hollow Earth episode, was that it would be a fun topic to be real. The Earth was actually hollow. I don't know how much it would change our lives a lot. Like he would be like, actually, the earth is hollow and there's beings who live in there. And we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then we'd have to like, you know,
we'd be like, we got to get that land.
Yeah, we got to take their land away.
We got to get that land and we got to kill those people.
What natural resources they got down there.
Or at least force them to live somewhere that we choose.
It's the American way.
But it would be cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the holes are kind of a weird thing. The holes of themselves. I mean, to Kellen's original question, the huge gaping holes in the ice.
But they're the catalyst, I guess, for a more interesting topic.
Yeah. It sort of sounds like it's just kind of a natural phenomenon, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the thing is, I think with like with places like Antarctica, we learn a lot still. I mean, there's a reason there's ongoing scientific efforts there.
Oh, they're digging holes all the time in there.
Yeah. We just are learning stuff that we never.
Antarctica at one point in time was not covered in ice.
I mean, we're talking about
down there.
We're talking about Richard Byrd going there in the 1940s.
Can you imagine?
Like that's not that long ago. We're talking 80 years ago.
Right.
Less than 80 years ago, even as of this recording.
You know, I guess so.
But it's like, think that it was like barely explored by then. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like that we didn't have.
No one had ever really set foot there.
Yeah, nobody.
Isn't that crazy? Think about. And it's Antarctica is weird too because it's like there's this whole landmass under all the ice and snow.
Yeah,
and we don't really know a lot about it.
Yeah,
and we don't know what's going on there. We don't really know what it looks like. And I mean, if you do go look on Google Earth, there's some weird stuff.
Yeah,
that rectangle thing looks weird.
Yeah,
the coordinates that we tried to give. Those things do look like fucking bunker entrances. They're very strange.
Yeah.
I don't know there.
I think that's part of it too, though, is that, you know, because it's so unexplored for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very harsh conditions.
Ugh.
And stuff like, I think it just breeds speculation.
For sure.
Because
hotbed.
Yeah. It's easy to like fly a satellite over something or like drones now and get pictures of stuff. And, you know, it's like, you can get a picture of things that people don't actually go to, you know,
it's got everything you need. It's got weird stuff all over the surface. It's got, you know, restricted areas. What do you mean? I'm not allowed to fucking go there. What's in there? I want to know. It's like, yeah. I don't know. Fucking giant hole, dude. You're fall.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
You're going to fall. You're going to ruin the environment. It's like, excuse me, I'm already ruining the environment constantly. Let me in here.
I'm going to chuck a penguin down in there and see what happens. That's real science.
Y'all get in them penguins I can eat? I want to make a penguin omelet.
Penguin meat.
Penguin omelet.
I imagine they taste probably pretty gross.
Probably pretty greasy.
Yeah, fatty. Real fatty. You know, like a duck confit.
That's good. They're like, if it's penguin confit right under there, that's good.
Doesn't confit mean to braise in its own fat? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the technique? Mm-hmm. Not the actual slice of, you know, confit is, I forget the term for the actual slice of like fatty.
Right.
The fat mousse.
Yeah, they call it, the technique is confit. But, when you like submerge something in its own fat and
right.
Cook it in its own fat.
Carnitas is famously confit, traditionally, in some recipes.
Yeah.
But like those duck confit sausages that we used to eat.
Me and you?
Yeah. The sausage place, remember? That used to be hot dogs, but then they moved it.
Hot G dog.
Hot G dog.
Yeah.
And they had the duck dog that had also the duck confit on top of it or mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
What was the actual name? Did they call those little slices of fat the duck confit?
Yeah, they call the meat from like if you cook duck, if you cook it confit,
mm-hmm. they just call it
people
duck
call
confit.
It duck confit. Okay.
That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah.
I don't know why we had to have such a big fucking argument about it.
Yeah, I don't know. But fuck you. I mean, don't come in here and ask me about terminology. And then tell a story to help me understand what you're asking. Fuck you. Either know a word or don't.
All right, Bugfuckers, things are getting icy around here. I think we should maybe get to verdicts. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, let's get to verdicts.
All right. I guess I don't 100% know what we're verticizing. We got a lot of different things to choose from.
Yeah, we got a lot of things to talk about in the verdict. So, let's see. Antarctica's cold, but I'm coming in hot.
Woo!
You know what? I'm gonna friggin' go for it because I'm feeling hot. Antarctica's got me hot. I'm horny. I'm ready for a verdict, and I'm gonna just jizz this thing out. Case closed on fucking everything.
Wow!
Antarctica is a weird Iceland place at the bottom of the Earth's butt, and the thing about it is that we don't fucking know a lot about it, and so there's all this speculation, and restricted areas are because they're doing research and stuff, and everybody knows you can't just have some dickhead fucking running through the scientific testing area when they're trying to do something. So come on, let's cut them some slack. These are scientists that live in fucking awful conditions with toilets that probably are frozen most of the time. It's probably a real pain to go to the bathroom there, and they're there for long periods of time. Give them a break. Go to Antarctica, see it for yourself, and until then, fucking shut up about it.
Holy shit. Oh, okay. My God.
All right, I got carried away.
Jesus, I got carried away.
I may have said some things I regret. No, I don't know. I don't, you know, I loved all of the Antarctica theories, right?
Yeah.
Antarctica theories, great. Keep them coming. Let's hear some more. But I just, there's not enough to like say, yeah, oh yeah, there was a Nazi base there. I just don't, you know, I don't buy it. I don't buy that there's secret temples, legend of the hidden Antichrist. The Antarctichrist is, you know, frozen there in its liquid form.
The Temple of Christ
slushy in the Temple of Coom. Antarctica bones in the Temple of Coom. With the Antarctichrist and, you know, Frosty Jesus.
Frosty Jesus. Liquid Jesus.
Liquid Jesus.
As opposed to solid Jesus.
Liquid Jesus.
Big Boss Jesus.
So I'm just going to fucking go case closed.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm going case closed on Antarctica as well.
Case closed. You heard it here first, Bunkfunkers. Antarctica exists.
But I'm not going to say it as aggressively as you. you know, I think Antarctica is really fun. Would definitely go there. If you Bunkfunkers have ever been there, let us know. How was your trip?
Oh, yeah. Billy, if you have photos of yourself on Antarctica, please send them to us. We'd love to see.
We'd see any photos of you and other different trips.
You gotta have one in Antarctica.
Gotta have one in Antarctica.
But no, I mean, seriously, Bunkfunkers, if you've ever been to Antarctica, I'd love to hear about your experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, those were our verdicts, Bunkfunkers. Let us know what you think. Use the hashtag.
I mean, for me, it's gotta be Antarctichrist. Right?
Use the hashtag AntarctiChrist and let us know what you think. Email us, MrBunkerPod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at MrBunkerPod. Look us up on YouTube, MrBunkerPod on YouTube. And if you feel so inclined, you want to support the show and you have the means to do so, find us on Patreon, patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. For just $5 a month, you get 2 extra episodes of our bonus program, Andy and Art Debunked. You get a monthly newsletter, join the Bunker Discord. You get behind the scenes little sneak peeks before the episodes air. You get, if you're a $10 patron, you get a free poster. And let me tell you, those posters are fucking badass.
They look great.
People love those posters.
We've been seeing some of the merch come
through. Right.
People have sent us some pictures. The stuff looks good, I think.
If you want your own Bunker merch, that's right. We have merch. MrBunkersConspiracyTime.com/merch. Get yourself some t-shirts, some hoodies, get yourself a bag, get yourself a mug, sticker, poster, whatever you want, dude. I don't care. Fucking go nuts.
I can fill that card up, boy.
Warm, it's comfy. Everybody's loving it. It's a good time. Bunker merch, and I think that's it. I think that's all the shilling we got.
Yeah, we've shilled things down here considerably, Bunk Funkers, but thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for supporting this program. Mm. And thank you, as always, for your great suggestions and all of your delightful interactions that we get with you.
It's wonderful. Well, for not the titular Mr. Bunker, but for my Azure. Wow. It's fitting.
Wow. Yeah.
My Azure co-host, Andy Hart. I'm Art Stone saying that was the whole enchilada.
Drifting. Dreaming. In an Azure mood.
Coming up on 5-Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.